Good morning, everyone. Craig Van Epps here from Haler, Fryer & Coon, an Alera company, alongside Jackie Kelly Caden from RLK General Insurance in beautiful downtown Syracuse.
Yes.
And we're here at the Next and Now studio with our second episode.
Yeah, our Passions and Dreams episode. What inspired you to come up with this episode?
Well, everything that people are passionate about, right? And what we do day in and day out with insurance, whether you're passionate about collections or your car or your first home or starting a business, finding that passion, following your dreams to that passion, and then the partnerships that we have.
Yeah, and you can't, when you came up with this idea, like, this is great, the tie-in to insurance is that you can't really follow your passions or your dreams without insurance. We're partners in that endeavor. So we used to talk about it as a necessary evil. My dad would reference it as that. And I actually think we reframe that and talk about a partnership. On my, you know, with my business, I can't do anything without insurance, without my lawyer, without my accountant, or my dream team. So we are coming alongside you, whether it's your first home, like you said, your first car, or your first business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So who do we have on today?
So we have an outstanding show today. We have Eric Devendorf, former basketball star, a legend really, Big East champion, TBT champion. We were able to interview Eric right from inside the Carmelo Anthony Center.
That was a big deal for
me. Which was very cool. We have Jackie Kelly Caden from RLK General Insurance and your father.
Yours truly. Yeah, and my dad. It was really sweet to have him on. Yeah.
And we also have Jackie Colello, a local artist whose artwork can be seen all over CNY. And actually, she's just returning from Cali. So really all over the United States at this point.
Yeah, you can see, I think, in Francesca's, Jessica Elizabeth. The preserve.
And murals all over Syracuse and North Syracuse as well.
Yeah.
And now Kelly as well.
Yeah, I know.
We got her just before she jumped on the plane. And speaking of Jackie, we have some OG artwork here from 10 years ago, and a special guest joining us, Vienna. Grab that artwork and bring it over so we can see it.
Hi, Vienna.
This is Vienna, my little girl. She's turning 10 this month. Welcome to the show,
believe
Vienna.
You're double digits. Yesterday I was 3.
Yeah, it seems like yesterday you were 3. And this little cute painting right here, Jackie Colello actually made this for Vienna when she was 1 year old. We still have it in our playroom. It's got her name right here on the foot. And we pulled it off the wall and we saw this little message. So we're going to read it here for you.
Vienna, may this painting always remind you of how much your daddy loves you. Jackie, P.S. Keep your crown. You were born to be a queen.
I love that, Vienna. You were born to be a queen, for sure.
Thanks for joining us today on the show, Vienna, and thanks everybody for continuing to support us and watching us. Stay tuned for the episode. We have 3 fantastic segments you're not going to want to miss.
See you, everybody.
Good afternoon. We are here in downtown Syracuse with the next episode of Next and Now, our podcast. We are right across the street from the Moe's in the beautiful office of Jessica Elizabeth Skincare, CNY's first choice for facials. And this office is beautiful, and part of that reason is because of our guest today, Jackie Colello.
Hey. Hey, Jackie. Another Jackie on our podcast. We are sitting in front of this incredible mural. It's stunning.
Thank you.
This is your passion. Who shaped your dream and passion as you were growing up?
I would say a huge influence that helped shape my passion would be my dad, my mom, my brother, and then later in life, God. Yeah, basically my family. My dad is an entrepreneur, and from a little girl, like, I used to make cards and stuff, and he would always tell me, you should be an artist. Just from cards. I know it's kind of wild because later on in life, I'm like, Dad, what? What are you talking about? And he would always encourage me that I can do anything that I put my mind to. And that came from him being an entrepreneur and chasing his dreams. And then my mom is my parents are divorced. So when a little girl, I remember seeing my mom, like, basically go to school and then raise these children. And I just saw, like, a strong woman. And I'm like, if she can do that, I can do anything. So between my dad and my mom and then my brother, who is a combination of them, and he's more, like, a best friend, and he's always encouraged me and helped me. It was like a combination of a storm. And then when I got sober and then I met God, I used his truths and promises underneath what my family was already telling me to fuel basically my passion of painting when I found my art. So it's kind of like a combination of everybody.
Yeah, crowdsourcing.
Yes.
That's incredible work.
Thank you.
I love that. And what keeps you inspired? Where do you find continuous passion?
Honestly, I think it's just from my personal experiences. Like just, you know, just last month I had a huge burnout. I just got done having an art show. I threw on this event and I didn't realize how much it entailed to throw. Normally when I have an art show, I have it in a place that's already established. There's already a bar there. There's already food there. I just bring my art in. This art show, I had an empty blank canvas. I had to bring in the catering. I had to bring in the deed. I had to bring everything in.
Yes.
And I didn't realize what that called for. So long story short, I had a huge burnout. But in that, going back to your question, it was a low, but I've been gaining so much inspiration. And right now, it's all about balance. So that's gonna go into my work. I'll probably start doing pieces that are about balance, you know, dark and light. Like not everything's gonna be up, 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 and not everything's gonna be down. And without the darkness, you can't have the light. So that's where I'm at right now. So it's just basically, you know, last year, it could have been something different that was inspiring me. It's just kind of like what I'm personally going through.
And then comes through in,
yeah,
in your art.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What does it look like to, like, on a day-to-day basis, to live out your passion?
It is a roller coaster ride. If you honestly want me to be honest, like, it is amazing and incredible, and behind the scenes you're crying and you're scared, and everybody's like, oh my God, you're doing so great, and I'm like, I'm drowning at the same time. It's like, it's all over the place, but it, day-to-day, I wake up, I really try to hit the gym first thing to get my mindset right. I try to just get my routine solid. Praying is huge. Getting into my devotional is huge. Getting my mindset, honestly, is, if without my mindset, my creativity can't take off. I'll be like, you know, black and white turns gray or brown if you throw it. Like a mucky color.
Right. Yeah.
If I'm not right on the inside, like with my head and my mindset,
my head.
Yeah. You know what I mean? If I'm not right, it's like my work's not right. So I have to take care of that. And then some days I'm just cleaning my studio. And other days I'm on a lift doing a mural. I just got back yesterday from doing a mural out of town. Mm. And then today I'm doing a podcast. Tomorrow I'm flying to California to watch my nephew graduate, but while I'm there, I'm gonna go to the art district and get inspired. And this to me is all work, you know?
Nice.
And then as soon as I come back, I have a meeting for another mural, and then I go out of town again to do another mural. So it's like, every day's different.
But when you're in your work, are you doing a little bit every day, or not necessarily?
I mean, I'm doing something always in here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And right now, during my month of a burnout, my creativity was really towards trying to put my room together and trying to put my kitchen together because I just recently moved. Well, I moved in like January and I've been so busy that I've been living out of boxes. So I'm like, I'm going to use this opportunity to whatever. But, or I'll go rollerblade. You know, and to me, I'll get some inspiration from nature. I love being in the nature. So I'm always, my work is fueled by like what I feed my soul, right? And even if I wasn't an artist, I would still be doing the same things, feeding my soul. So I'm just kind of always just in the flow of it.
In the passion, in the art. What's next for you?
Honestly, I feel like fashion is on the radar right now. And I was gonna put you guys in some clothing. We were gonna do that. But I'm not ready yet to really launch it. I kind of did for my art show. I was like, you know what? People are always asking about apparel. And I've done some shirts and some hoodies and stuff, and they always pretty much sell out when I sell them or when I offer it. And I'm like, I'm gonna try to dabble in different things, a little bit more upscale things, a little bit from a different perspective, not just like a piece of a painting on a shirt. I wanna actually design the shirt specifically for that. Like Syracuse Fashion Week, I came up with like this certain tank top and these certain jeans, and I had like basically bleach going down the side, and then I put paint over it, and I did the same thing and create on the back of the tank top, and I created an outfit, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to create whole outfits and pieces that are unique and different, and I wanted to see at my art show how the feedback was, and it was amazing. So I'm like, okay, I gotta put a lid on this because I'm not ready for this to explode, mm-hmm. but that is my next venture, is gonna be into fashion.
For sure.
Right.
And as we talked about earlier, you've really evolved, right? Because I got my first piece from you, what, almost 10 years ago. It was the American flag piece made. And then you made a nice little elephant for my daughter, Rihanna, which she still has and loves. And then we've just seen so many things from you since, the murals, and you're doing so much work there. And I know you give back to the community anytime you can. And now moving into the apparel. So you've really grown quite a bit as an artist. Yeah. It's really been amazing to watch.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So how can people get in touch with Kalelo Creations?
You can find me on Instagram at Kalelo Creations, or at, yeah, you got
at
it.
Kalelo.
And then the website's but it's KaleloCreations.com. I have to update my website. I just have to get it more like geared towards where I want it to go.
Yeah.
And Facebook. Yep. So.
Awesome. And where are some spots that people can see some of your work? I know you have a bunch of stuff at the Preserve. You know, you have murals here and spread out all over the place. But where are some other locations?
You can see a mural at Francesca's. There's three at Eva's Polish Restaurant. You can see them at Inspire on the Granary Hair Salon. We got this place. You got three hallways and Jessica Elizabeth Skin. Cafe Blue, I did their bathroom. Fort Plain, I have one. The Parthenon Bookstore.
Of course.
Yeah.
That mural is stunning.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It is funny because when I look at my murals, I totally see like the season of my life in that moment. You know? One thing I learned on that mural, it was actually Memorial Day weekend, and my friend invited me to a pool party, and I was like, no, I got this mural to do. And I used to always blow plans off because I was in the middle of a mural. But I remember specifically on that mural, like Memorial Day weekend passed and I'm still working on this mural. Take a break. Like, don't miss life while you're chasing this dream. Like, no one's gonna pay me but myself, right? I don't have a 9-to-5 and a certain paycheck. But in that, like, you kind of feel like, I gotta go, go, go. But there's always growth in the rest. And there's always a blessing to be had when you slow down and just enjoy life. I could have had an amazing memories those weekends. So I refuse not to do that now.
Like, that's a good takeaway.
Take a break.
Stretch from the first one, and this is take a break. Honor yourself while you're following your dream.
Well said. So slowly but surely, you're covering the world of beauty.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Bye.
Good afternoon, everybody. We are here at Syracuse University at the Carmelo Anthony Center, and we are with former Syracuse basketball star, TBT champ, and the founder of ED23 Foundation, Eric Diebendorf. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, Eric, thanks so much for being on our podcast.
Absolutely.
Craig brought something to show you. He's got a special surprise here.
So these I started making when Syracuse won the national title in 2003. I had just bought my house, had nothing to decorate with, so I started taking clippings of the newspaper, and you can see I got all the photos from that year, the box score, the year they won the national championship in 2003 over Kansas. And that kind of started me on making one every year back when the newspaper, before it went internet-based, and you're on a couple of these things that I have hanging in the house down in my gym. So this is the season, I believe, that back-to-back Big East champs, there you are right there, celebrating with the boys.
Yeah, talking.
Very, very fiery as always. Yeah. And this was GMAC's senior year, I believe, when they were questioning his value, and if I'm not mistaken, 9 seed and ran right through the tournament.
At the time, it was... the only team to do 4 games in four straight days.
Yes.
I think somebody has done it since then, but at that time, we were it was a record,
Yeah, and that was just an awesome year. And then getting into the NCAA tournament because of that victory, which nobody really thought that was going to happen. And then this one, who could forget the 6 overtime game when you hit the shot at the end there, jumped on the scorer's table, and then it ended up going 6 overtimes after that. But you're all over this one. But another great one and a great season, and just some showings of the outstanding career that you've had, both on and off the court here in Syracuse.
Appreciate that. That was an unbelievable team.
Yeah. How did you know basketball was your passion, and then how did that lead you to Syracuse?
Well, you know what? I was pretty lucky early on. My dad introduced basketball to me at an early age, probably like 7.
Okay.
And he didn't play college or anything like that, just like recreational in high school. But when he introduced the game to me, it kind of just took a hold of me. Like, I remember every day before school, you know, 5:30 in the morning, waking up, you know, at lunchtime, I'd play after school. So it was really an all-day thing for me. I was lucky enough to find my passion early on. And what led me to Syracuse is funny, because we talk about 2003. My sophomore year, I was actually committed to Michigan State to go play basketball. Being from Michigan, at that time, you know, the top players either went to Michigan or Michigan State. Mm-hmm. That's just how it was. Mm-hmm. So 2003, I was committed to Michigan State, went to a game in the Breslin Center. Who's Michigan State playing? They're playing Syracuse. 2003 national championship season.
Okay.
So I go to the game. I see Syracuse play with Melo and G-Mac, Billy Edlin, Hakeem, Craig Forth, all those guys. I see how Coach Boeheim's kind of letting them have the freedom to play up and down. That, you know, that was my style, just, you know, playing with freedom and playing with pace. And I remember turning to my AAU coach at the time and telling him, man, we got to see what's going on with Syracuse. I just love being from Michigan. I didn't really get a lot of the Syracuse games, so I didn't know too much about it. But once I saw him play, I was like, man, we got to check him out. So I remember the week after that, we had practice in Detroit. It was my AAU team, which is Michigan Hurricanes. Syracuse came down, Coach Boeheim, and at the time there was Troy Weaver, who was recently, he was the general manager of the Detroit Pistons. They came down, watched me at open gym. After practice, they offered me a scholarship, and that was kind of how it worked.
Awesome.
And the rest is history. And Coach, after practice, he came up to me and said, like, hey, you want to come to Syracuse? And I was like, yeah, that's it. I wanted to come.
Yes, so I do.
It was. It's funny that you have the 03 pictures, because that was the year that I found out about Syracuse, the national championship year, and I fell in love with the style. And like you said, the rest is history.
The rest is history. I love that.
Now we got to get another one. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you keep the passion alive and stay inspired now with what you're doing?
I think for me, you know, my passion for basketball and helping people, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. I like to, you know, be able to help people in different forms, whether it's, you know, doing camps, clinics, doing stuff through the foundation. I think a lot of those different events inspire and motivate people to do the same, or just inspire change in their mindset. And then obviously, my daughters, you know, having two daughters, 16 and 14, you know, having them be able to look up to a positive role model and see the stuff that I'm doing in the community, it just fuels me to continue to do more and be a role model and be a mentor for them as they continue to grow and go forward. So that fuels my passion and inspires and motivates me to continue to give back and continue to do great things here at Syracuse.
Awesome, I get that. I'm a girl dad too. So, changes your life, doesn't it?
Changes your life. It's tough. Like, they're at the stage right now, teenager stage, where it's like, all right. Sometimes they want to mess with me. The other times they don't. But every time they need money. You know, so
that's the truth.
You.
But it's all worth it. It's all. Yeah. It's awesome.
That's true.
I'm in that stage.
Yes.
What has been your biggest challenge as you pursued your passion, and how did you overcome it?
You know what, the biggest challenge for me, I guess, is probably just trying to stay consistent with everything. You know what I mean? It's, you could have a lot of distractions come at you to where it could discourage you from, you know, continuing to do what you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, a camp, the events, you know, some things never is going to go perfect. Things aren't always going to go perfect. So I think a lot of times when that happens, people have this vision in their mind, and when it doesn't go that way, it can discourage them and stop them from doing what they, you know, what they're trying to do. So I think being consistent with that, and you know, working over those hurdles and continuing to try to put stuff together, regardless if it's how you see it in your mind or not, it's just life is about making adjustments, right? And always trying to figure out as we go. So I think those are the challenges for me to continue to pursue what I want to do as far as giving back in the community, and then working through those challenges, adjusting as we go, forward in life.
Well, that mindset is, that's, I think, the number one thing when you're in your passion, you're doing something you love, is how do you stay focused and get and drive through? It's that mindset. I remember just even being in a running at the end of a half marathon, and I'm like, I'm doing my dream, and I could not get past that, like the last whatever, however many feet it was. And my friend said, you just have to keep going, and you can't walk, you got to run. So
And I think too, another thing is, like, a lot of people stop because of what other people think.
Yeah,
you know, they get the opinions from the outside, and then they start, you know, thinking about it, like, oh, maybe it's, I'm not doing the right thing, or maybe it's not supposed to be like this. But if you're being your true, authentic self, and you're trying to give back, and you're pure in what you're doing, that is the right thing to do, no matter what anyone else is saying. Because, you know, a real friend, a real mentor, a real human being, they're going to see that, and they're going to know that, like, he's really trying to give back. He's trying to, you know, be his authentic self. And I think that's all you could do. You know what I mean? And once you start trying to, get outside of who you are, it's tougher to accomplish things. So being true to yourself, and I think that inspires people, because honestly, a lot of people aren't their true self. They don't stick to their guns, like, especially when you start to hear other opinions and, other people having to say things. So, you know, being true to myself and, continue to stick to that has really helped me.
And just keep going, right? I had a mentor early on in my career say most people fail because they quit, not realizing how close they are to success.
100%.
Right? So a lot of times you're this close, but you give up, right? Yeah. So just keep going. I like that mindset.
Yeah. I've noticed that too. All the things that we do, and for me, I'm a big guy about writing it down and writing it down and then making it happen. So just sticking to it, regardless if it's it doesn't go how you see the first time, adjust like we talked about and continue to try to improve from there.
Excellent. So what's next for Eric Diemendorf?
Continue to build with the foundation, with the ED23 Foundation. We have a golf tournament coming up September 23rd. We're going to do a women's event probably later in the summer into August, and then we have a back-to-school event August 24th, where we'll do it at Kirk Park, where we do haircuts, school supplies, food, music, and all type of stuff. So just continue to build on that, continue to, bridge the gap with the foundation in the community and bring people together, and then, continue to do the basketball stuff. That's, that's what I love to do, be on the court with these guys, help them improve, and, inspire them to do better. And also, like, when I'm working these guys out, I always make sure I remind them about getting out in the community. And because, when they're at Syracuse, the community is so, enamored about, like, Syracuse basketball, football,
Right.
So it's big when they're able to get out, shake hands, really touch the people in the community. Mm-hmm. That means a lot. So when you have this type of platform, you want to share it and you want to be able to give back.
Yeah, and I just bought this shirt today at Shirt World. Okay. Indeed, Shirt World.
Yeah.
Just speaking of being in the community, what he said when you come in, it's like he had stars in his eyes. It makes his day when you're there. So just to say, just speaking to that, being part of the community. And Craig always talks about that on our committee that we're on with our insurance committee, and the work we do is not just insurance and making sure people are protected and their, their passions, they can move ahead with their passions. It's also getting into the community and getting back with the money we raise. So I think that's really important. How can people get involved in the foundation?
Well, we got our website, ed23foundation.org. Like I said, we have the golf tournament coming up and the back to school event. You could donate on the page.
Okay.
Again, ed23foundation.org. Donate, all the donations go back to the foundation, where it helps us do more events, for the kids here in Central New York. It helps the ED23 hoop side, where kids can't afford to play. Now we can give scholarships from the foundation,
nice.
and more of those kids can continue to play through the hoop side. So just want to continue to build through the foundation, continue to help people, and continue to bring people together in the community.
Awesome. Well, I mean, since freshman year and still till today, you've done a lot for the community. We appreciate it, and thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
Good morning, everybody. Craig Van Epps here from Haley Fryer & Coon and Alera Company, and I'm downtown at our neighbor RLK General Insurance office with Jackie Kelly Caden.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Our office.
Yes, thank you. You've done a lot in here. It's looking good.
Thank you. Yeah, we have.
So this episode is Find Your Passion, Follow Your Dreams. So thought, what a great person to have this discussion with than you, right? You've been in the business about 3 years now. So how did you find your passion for insurance?
I know, we talk about this. I'm such an insurance nerd, and we said this in our first, on our intro of our last episode. How did I become so into insurance? And number one, it was through failure. And then the second reason is Big Eye, the support I had with Big Eye. But the first reason is I could not get my teaching license transferred over when I moved back to New York State. And it was so frustrating. I remember being so despondent. I couldn't get a full-time classroom gig through COVID, where I was teaching on Zoom at a private school. And I remember laying on my couch, like, what is gonna happen to me? Is my teaching career over in New York State? I can't do all the requirements. This is gonna be impossible. And got really discouraged. And at the same time, I was kind of having that mini crisis. My uncle was retiring from our family business, and something I hadn't really even paid attention to growing up, our family business. What does my dad do for a living? And as I was thinking, though, and it's interesting how failure clears your mind. I was like, wait a minute, there's a need there. My brother and sister don't want it. My uncle's kids don't want it. We don't want them to sell it. They were talking about selling it. And I'm like, I think I can do this. If I could teach a classroom full of sixth grade boys, I can certainly figure out how to pivot in my career and do something different. And so I reached out to my uncle and my dad. We had lunch, we talked through it. They were surprised, and they were like, you know, they were like, what, you know, you're interested? And I was like, yeah, I think I can do this. And I came and I worked part-time just to see how I would like it. And my first claims call, I was like, I love it. It was all the things I love about teaching, you know, helping in a crisis, calming a classroom down, fixing things. I'm a huge problem solver. And so I just kind of went from there and started full time in January of 2021. And running the behind the scenes, my uncle obviously, you know, brought me up to speed on how to run the back end of it. And it reminded me of the back end side of running your classroom, all of that. And then through that, I met Christine Nee called me from Big Eye, and you know, the rest is history. So yeah, the teaching piece of it, not being part of failing in the teaching side, and then getting support from Big Eye were the two reasons why this has become my most favorite thing. I can't believe I do it every day.
I love it. So the family, they got one hooked then. Finally, they got one on the line.
Yes. And now we're third generation. My grandfather started this in 1964. My dad and my uncle, you know, had it all the way through the 90s and the 2000s. And now I'm here for this next third generation. So it is pretty incredible. So I feel very lucky. Yeah.
Very cool. One door closes, another opens, right?
I know. Out of failure. I told my kids, I remember that, always telling my kids at Circle Time, remember, through our mistakes, the best success. You learn so much from your mistakes and from failure. So I am a number one poster child for that. And then again, I just always want to shout out Big Eye. When they called me to say, have you done your DFS cybersecurity? Christine called me and said that. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And she just jumped right in, right away to support me, got me the next event that was coming up, which was the Go Big that was online that year. Mm-hmm. And I met Kelly Gagneau through that, and just, you know, it just been, you know, we really kind of took it by storm from there. So
a lot to unpack there, right? I love what you said about teaching, right? Because our job is so similar to teaching, right? Because we educate and we advise and try to create a better understanding for our clients and change some of those perceptions that are out there. And when you give them that better understanding about what's going on in the marketplace, right?
Yeah.
Why are my rates going up? It's not just because the insurance company wants to hike rates every year to make more money. It's because of the cost of materials is higher, the cost of labor is higher, there's more accidents, the severity has changed.
Absolutely.
With so much distracted driving, climate change, we've seen what that's done across America, and how all of that ties in to those rate increases. And then having those conversations and how do we mitigate some of that risk? And then the client can make an informed decision, right?
Exactly.
And the tools and resources that Big Eye has to offer, right? For all the independent agents out there to help us all serve our clients better.
And then another thing, you are at a huge agency. You guys have a lot of amazing activities going on every week. We are a two-person agency here. And so Big Eye provides not only that support and the professional development that I desperately needed coming in knowing nothing about insurance. I also have these events that I can meet people and I can bounce ideas off of. And I met you, and I was remember having another agent at a Big Eye event that we had, a Next Gen event. And I was talking about a progressive policy and just kind of figuring out what to do on that. And so that has been a huge gift for me. And I've obviously referenced Kelly Gagno, the mentorship that Big Eye provides, all of it. So yeah, that is why, honestly, I am here and in love with insurance, is because of Big Eye and my failure.
Excellent. And now 3 years in, what helps keep you inspired? What keeps that passion alive and growing?
Yeah, my dad, for sure. No question. Just knowing that this is a legacy. He is a huge inspiration. He's been doing this for 50 years and literally knows everything. If I give him a risk, a commercial on the commercial side, he knows exactly where to place it, where it should go. And my grandfather, so being the third generation and feeling that legacy, that's really inspirational. But for the day to day, honestly, it's my workout every day. I have to do it for my brain. I started that when my kids were very young and I was in my early days teaching. I needed to start my day knowing I would have the onslaught as soon as I got in at 7:30 with those kids. And I just needed to have my brain in the right spot. So for me, it's a brain activity that I do when I work out every morning. And I'm really committed to it because I just don't feel like I have my days the same if I don't. The client calls just feel a little bit more interesting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if I haven't had that workout.
You are a little more ready, aren't you?
I do.
I do the same thing. Yeah. You get the morning workout in, the blood starts going, it gives you time for your brain to start firing instead of jumping right into it. And myself, I put some positive podcast or something on in the background, and it really helps to recharge and get things in the right direction before you hit the office and it starts raining.
Yeah, and I do the same. Yeah, just having that positive in, the podcast in your ears, and then your actual physical activity, I think, makes a huge difference. That's where you're running off. Yeah,
absolutely. So still early on, 3 years in, but I know you've made a lot of changes around here. What would you say is your biggest triumph to date?
Oh my goodness. So for me, and this would be another kind of shout out to Kelly Gagno and Big Eye, it's going paperless. That was my biggest and our biggest agency triumph. And we just, when I was on that call, that first call, Kelly agreed to be my mentor out of the first Go Big conference I went to. And I panned my Zoom screen. We were on a Zoom call for her to see the 35 cabinets down the hallway, the files piled up. And she said, she heard my story. And then she said, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to call me back until you have an agency management system in place and a VoIP phone system. And she gave me great ideas. She gave me a list of things to research, of options to research. But she said, you have to do this. And it has been huge, the difference, how we can service and meet the needs of our clients quickly. We can get newsletters out at a click of a button. Mm-hmm. And so that has made a big, big difference. So yeah, that's my biggest.
And increasing those client touches obviously helps with retention and helps you stay connected, right?
Yeah. We're noticing that just making it. At first, I was so impatient. My marketing reps would come in and I'm like, when am I going to see the growth? And they're like, you're going to see it. You'll see. And we did those. We made those changes and we could just immediately, not just the, touches to the client that they need throughout the year, especially our commercial clients, but it's also the growth. We saw our phone. We could answer the phone from our house. We could really, it made a huge difference. So, and I think that's another, we'll talk about that on another podcast, another episode on the technology that you can use to really, some tweaks you can make, and it's generational. My dad, who's been in the business for 50 years, he has been able to pivot straight into this new paperless system. So it is approachable, and we'll have that. We'll feature that on one of our next episodes.
Absolutely. Coming later in the year.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaking of your father, I know he's around here somewhere.
Oh, Dad, come on in.
Welcome.
Great to see you. Thank
you as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Dad.
So tell us, how's it been since Jackie's
been it's just been so wonderful to have Jackie come into the business. We had no idea she had the talents she's exercised in the last 3 years. We knew she was a hard worker, but we had no idea that she has this passion for not just helping people, servicing people, but also making sales. It has been so refreshing. You have to have a passion for sales in this business, as you well know. Mm-hmm. And she has that passion in addition to helping people. The insurance business is such a great business to be in, to both help people and to grow with sales. And for the last 50 years, before Jackie got here, we were more of a service-oriented agency, which a lot of agencies aren't. They want to grow. But our personalities with my father and myself, and then my brother later on, were more service-oriented people. And you can make a living, a nice, comfortable, it's a great business to be in, just helping people. Mm-hmm. We actually did sacrifice sales to service people. And we probably over-service people, but it fits so well in with our personalities. As Jackie said, Jackie and I have similar backgrounds. She came from a teaching background. I also came from a teaching background. I was 3 years in the Peace Corps from 1971 to 1974. And so you don't join the Peace Corps unless you want to help people.
Right.
And so I came in with that. You know, it's a genetic thing to sort of help people, the passion that we feel to help people. And that's what keeps me going in the business, the ability to help people who need insurance. As you know, insurance can make or break. If you can't get insurance for whatever reason, you can't be in business. We have to have insurance. You can't buy a house without being able to get insurance. You can't buy a car, obviously, and drive a car in the state without having insurance. So people get frustrated. It's a small part of their life in the day-to-day realm of things, but it's so important. So we're serving an important function. That's what gives me my passion.
So your new passion, breathing new passion to you as well and keeping it going. And I love what you said there about the partnerships. It really speaks to our carrier partners, right? And you talked about developing that program.
Yes.
And that's what's great about the independent channel, right?
That's the beauty of independent, that you can partner.
Yes, and you have carriers that are creative.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a small
part. You have more options.
It's a terrific business. I'm very thankful and like to say it on the podcast to my father, who was not a great salesperson but liked helping people, mm-hmm. and was actually only in the business, active in the business for 7 years, from 1964 to 1971. And then got involved in politics, got a job at City Hall, and needed me to come in to help keep the family business going. And I've worked with my father for 3 years. In the first 3 years, had lunch with him every day. And then my brother joined us in 1977 and worked with my brother for 43 years. And then now I'm working with my daughter for probably 43 years, but
he's going to wheel me out of here. That's the joke. Yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
We'll see. So, well, I appreciate getting to know you both over the last few years, and it's a privilege to share downtown Syracuse with you.
Yes.
And thank you for being on the show.
You've been a great help for Jackie. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next to Now is hosted by Jackie Kelly Caden and Craig Vanek and produced by Michael Abbott.
Music by Mike DeBolick.
Logo designed by Craig Van Epps and Maddie Tomkos.
And a special thank you to the whole Big Eye team for all of your support. Thank you so much.
Thank you.